Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 355 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. All right, well, the baseball and softball seasons are coming to a close, and we'll have two of our teams playing the state tournament next week. But today, we're going to focus on two of the teams that we haven't had a chance to do a podcast with yet this summer. Later on, I'll be visiting one of the key players from the Ankeny Centennial baseball team. But right now, my first two guests were both standouts on the Ankeny softball squad. To my left is a senior shortstop who helped the Hawkettes to a 12-25 record. She led the squad with a .438 average and 47 RBIs while ranking 8th in Class 5A with 14 home runs. And she also drew a team-high 21 walks while leading the squad with 33 runs scored. In the fall, she'll be taking her talents to Mississippi State. She is Kensington Arringdale. Kensington, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. And to my right is a senior outfielder for the Hawkettes who batted .340 with 4 doubles and 15 RBIs. And she led the team with 3 triples. She is headed to Iowa Western Community College to play for the Reavers. She is Avery Nelson. Avery, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. You guys closed out your season last Saturday night with a 13-8 loss at number 15 Cedar Rapids Prairie in a Class 5A regional semifinal. Ken, I'll start with you. I know you didn't play school ball all the way through your high school career, but I'm sure you were still sad to see it come to an end. You know, was that a long bus ride home for you guys?
Yes, we actually took the vans and suburbs, so there was only a few of us in there, but we stopped and got food on the way home, and we just enjoyed our last moments together.
And Avery, I asked you about this afterwards, but I'll have you kind of reflect on it again. You've been a part of this program for 5 years and have been a varsity starter for the last 4. Ankeny softball has pretty much, you know, been your life. What kind of emotions were you feeling afterwards?
Yeah, it's really hard, especially because, like, next summer I'll have nothing to do. Nothing takes up my summers anymore. It's really great to just, like, see how the program evolves every year. So it's really tough to just see it come to an end.
Well, this game was kind of symbolic of your whole season because you guys showed once again that you could put some runs on the board, but you just had trouble holding your opponent down. You guys scored 5 runs in the second inning to take a 6-5 lead. And Avery, you had a big 2-run triple during that rally. But Prairie then answered right away with another 5-run inning to take the lead for good. And Avery, I know you told me that Prairie was able to capitalize on some of your mistakes, right?
Yes, yep.
Well, Prairie went on to drop an 11-3 decision at number 4 DCG in the regional final. Ken, were you surprised that Prairie maybe didn't give DCG a better game?
A little, but DCG is a very tough team, and I think with how every team in the 5A class is playing, like, it could go either way, so not a shock.
Well, both of you had big games at the plate in your final game in a Hawkette uniform. Avery, you went 3-for-4, and Ken, you went 2-for-3 with 3 RBIs. You hit a 2-run homer in the 6th in your final high school at bat. I mentioned the numbers earlier that you put up this season. You know, were you happy with the season that you had at the plate?
I was very happy, and even if the season didn't go that way, I would have been happy either way, just to be able to spend the summer with my best friends. But obviously, my numbers made me a little happier.
We certainly had a number of highlights throughout the season. One of them came on June 24th in the second game of a doubleheader against number 2 Ankeny Centennial. You hit a 3-run homer in the 4th inning off your future Mississippi State teammate Lauren Sandholm, and that gave your team a 7-4 lead. Now, even though the Jaguars rallied to win the game, you know, that had to be a pretty fun moment for you. Was that one of the highlights of the season for you?
Oh my gosh, yes. That was one of the best moments this season. It was fun just to be able to put up all those runs against them, and obviously off of my teammate. She struck me out the first time we played them, so I wanted to come back and get her this time.
And Avery, you certainly had to deal with some adversity this year. You suffered a hairline fracture in your wrist during the first game of a doubleheader at Urbandale on June 3rd. But after sitting out a couple of games, you were back in the team's lineup a week later. I know we've talked about how you got injured in that game, but for our listeners who weren't there or didn't read about it, can you describe how you got hurt for me again?
So I went up to try to rob a home run, and I got caught in, like, the top of the fencing with my glove hand, and my hand just bent the way that it's not supposed to go. So immediately I knew something was wrong. I've always had problems with my wrist, but it was never that bad. Like, it hurt really bad.
You ever had, like, any kind of a collision like that before with the fence?
No, not really. I mean, I get caught in the fence a lot at our field just because there's a lot of holes in the bottom. So sometimes like face plant into it or just not even like completely miss the fence.
Well, I know you were pretty determined to finish out your season on the field and not on the injured list, but then you also re-injured it at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, against Xavier in Linmar, like at that tournament, I tried to dive for the ball and my elbow got caught in the ground. So it kind of held my arm there and my whole body rolled over it. So it didn't feel good. I'd say it didn't hurt as bad as it did the first time. It was more scary, if anything, because I was just worried about re-injuring it.
Well, what would you say was the biggest challenge for you, you know, in playing through that injury? Because it didn't seem to bother you at the plate too much.
Yeah, definitely, like, moving my wrist around to try to catch the ball, like, the first week. That's why I tried to DH a couple of the games. But sometimes, like, when I was swinging and missing and, like, going through my full swing, it would, like, irritate it because I wouldn't be making any contact with the ball and I would just be snapping my wrist over and over. So I'd say more of the, like, defensive part and, like, moving my wrist and stuff.
Well, the two of you were among the three seniors on the team. McKenna Byers was the other senior, and it'll definitely be a tough task for Coach Saladino to replace the three of you. But obviously, this team will have a lot of returning starters next year. Ken, do you feel like this team, you know, can maybe take a step forward next year, even without you guys?
I really do. I think Sal is improving as a coach every year, and I think we made big steps this season all around. I feel like Kinsley behind the plate, she improved a lot. Emma and Sarah on the mound and Abby, they all improved. So I think they'll be just fine, and I'm excited to see how they develop next year.
Well, Irby, like Ken just mentioned, you guys used several different pitchers this year, and all of them were pretty inexperienced prior to the season. Do you think getting this year of varsity competition under their belt, you know, will benefit them going forward?
Oh, yeah. So actually, before Emma Munger pitched at Waukee, she had never pitched more than three innings, like, consecutively. So it was really great to see her grow, her go from pitching three innings to pitching a full game. They're also really young, so they have a lot of time to grow and get that experience. So I think this fall and the winter of doing off-season stuff and playing club will really help them.
Before I ask you guys about your futures at the next level, I just wanted to get your thoughts on next week's state tournament in Fort Dodge. The top seven teams in the final Class 5A rankings all advanced to state. The only team to win on the road in the regional finals was number 9 Pleasant Valley. They posted a minor upset with a 4-2 win at number 8 Waukee. But even with Waukee's loss, five teams from the CIML conference did make it to state, and I'm sure, you know, neither of you were surprised by that. The CIML is clearly the best conference in the state, and that probably, you know, explains your team's 7-17 record in the league. Can you guys, you know, just never had an easy night in the conference play, did you?
Oh, no. It was going to be tough either way, but we had some good upsets. We had some really good games, and playing that level of competition really helped us improve.
Well, even the team that finished in last place, Urbandale, was not bad. They won the last of the three games against you guys, and I know they gave Centennial a really good game, you know, in one of their meetings. Avery, that's a team that was probably a lot better than, you know, the record show, weren't they?
Yes, yeah. You don't sleep on any CIML team, no matter their record. I don't think we played like one unranked team besides Urbandale this year, so we just really had no break, no time to just stop.
Well, when you look at the state tournament pairings, defending champion Waukee Northwest is the top seed in the upper half of the bracket. The entire lower half of the bracket is comprised of CIML teams. Centennial will face Dowling Catholic in the opening round on Monday. Valley is going to meet Southeast Polk. Now, this year's tournament will be played under a double elimination format for the first time ever, so it will now take three wins instead of two to reach Friday's championship game. Of course, Avery, you played in the state tournament in both of your freshman and sophomore years under the old format where you guys placed fourth in 2024. So what do you think of this new format? Do you think it'll be a positive change?
I think it'll be positive for those 4A and 5A schools that have multiple pitchers and a deeper bullpen. But I think it's going to be tough for those smaller schools that really only have one girl to pitch. But they'll just have to come ready and...
I get you. Well, Northwest and Centennial have been ranked 1 and 2 all season, and I think a lot of people are expecting those two teams to meet for the championship. With this new format, both the Wolves and the Jaguars would have to lose twice before Friday in order to be eliminated. Ken, do you think that makes it even more likely that those two teams will play for the title?
Oh, 100%. I think it'll be those two no matter what, and I'm rooting for Centennial just because of Sandholm, and I like a bunch of those girls, so I'm hoping they can take it.
Yeah, well, you used to go to Centennial, right?
Yes.
Well, Wilson Samuel has a lot of depth with its pitching staff. And like you mentioned, Avery, you know, that could certainly help a team like the Jaguars if they would happen to lose one of their first two games, because then they would have to win three times on Wednesday in order to make the final. You know, but let's assume that Centennial makes it to the final and gets another matchup against Northwest. Of course, Northwest has one of the state's best pitchers in Sophia Schlatter. Avery, you know both of those teams very well. You know, who would you give the edge to in that matchup?
Honestly, now I think Centennial will win just because Spiegel has gotten a lot stronger throughout the season. She's throwing really well. And then obviously, if Northwest hits Spiegel, they have Sandholm, they have Sterling, they have all those other girls. But Northwest, they have Sophia Schlatter and Taylor Ness. They're both really strong pitchers, but pretty sure Centennial only lost to Northwest like 6-5 earlier in the season. And I think Centennial prepares really well. Obviously, I don't really know Northwest that well, but they're all pretty good girls.
Yeah, I think the fact that they scored 5 runs off Schlatter, you know, would really give them confidence that they could do that again. And with their pitching, you know, I think, yeah, I agree with you. Ken, what about you? You know, who do you think would come out on top?
I think Centennial. I think they are stronger all around. Obviously, both teams are very, very good. But I think Centennial's bullpen, and I think just like their whole roster runs deep. I mean, heck, they put their JV team in against us at the end of the first game, and they could hold their own. They were very good.
Well, I know you guys aren't pitchers, but if a team does have to come through that loser side and has to play like 3 games in a day on Wednesday, do you think somebody like Schlatter could pitch 3 games, or do you think they'd almost have to use somebody else?
I think she could. She's probably got that adrenaline in her, and she's young, so that probably helps a lot.
Yeah, I think she can. Travel ball really prepares you for that, so, and she's done that the past few years, so I think she'd be good.
What's the most games you would ever play like in a day, like in travel ball?
5 in 100-degree weather. It's so bad.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your future plans now. Avery, I know you initially committed to Creighton back in 2024, but you then flipped your commitment to Iowa Western last fall. And as I recall, you told me at the time that the decision was pretty much out of your hands. Can you describe what happened there with your recruitment?
So basically all like the NCAA rule changes, the roster caps, all that stuff, scholarship changes, basically didn't have room for me. They're going to cut an outfielder before they cut an infielder, because an infielder can play outfield, but an outfielder can't really do infield unless you like are a true utility and can do it all. It was really upsetting at the time, especially being in the midst of the season, but I think it's a blessing in disguise, and now I can use this year at the junior college level to just grow, and I get 4 more years after that.
Well, I'm sure you feel fortunate to have found a landing spot, and I know Iowa Western has had a lot of success in some other sports like football. Is their softball program pretty strong, too?
Yeah, they made it to the World Series this year, and I'm pretty sure they won their first game, and then they lost their second game, but they're ranked pretty much top 25 the whole season, so I'm really excited for that.
And Ken, you committed to Mississippi State in the fall of 2024, and I know you told me at the time that you had a couple other offers. I think you went on 3 official visits, but that you just fell in love with the environment there in Starkville. And I know the Bulldogs went 43-21 last season, and they made it to the College World Series. So you're obviously joining an elite program. What does their current roster look like? Did you feel like, you know, you'd have a chance to step in right away and contribute?
Yeah, so my main position is obviously middles, and they have a really good shortstop and then second base. Their whole infield's very good, but I think I have a chance if I keep working hard to earn my spot, and I like the outfield, so if they need me in the outfield, I'll play there. So I'm just hoping to be able to play and get some time on the field.
All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for coming in, and hey, good luck next year at college.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny, is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. I also want to give a shout out to the good folks at MJ Properties. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and is the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well, and we certainly appreciate their support. All right, well, my other guest today is a junior outfielder for the Ankeny Centennial baseball team. He batted 274 with two home runs, three doubles, and 20 RBIs while helping the Jaguars to a 20-16 record. Last month, he verbally committed to play football at the University of Illinois, so we're going to talk about his future on the gridiron as well. He's Cade Newman. Cade, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Thank you. Appreciate you having me out today. I'm doing great.
You bet. Well, congratulations on a successful season on the baseball field. I know it ultimately didn't turn out the way you were hoping, but you guys still had a pretty good year. You finished 12-10 in the CIML Conference. And you tied for fourth place in arguably the best league in the state. You know, what would you say was the highlight of the season for you?
I think we competed through every single game we played. Obviously, the CIML, I think, is the hardest conference in the state, like you just touched on. And, you know, we came out and competed every single night, no matter what the score said. We, you know, we're just happy to be around each other and playing. It's a fun game. And, you know, we took advantage of every night we had together. So it was an awesome season. I'm just proud of the way we competed.
The team that ended your season was the same squad that you tied with for fourth place in the conference. You guys went over to Valley on Monday for a Class 4A sub-state semifinal, and that's a team that you had defeated on the same field 10-1 on June 11th. But this time the Tigers had Ryan Steadman on the mound, and he proved to be more than a handful. He tossed a three-hitter and racked up 15 strikeouts. Valley won the game 5-0. Now, Coach High told me afterwards that he believed that Steadman was throwing in the 95 to 97 mile per hour range. You know, was it that velocity that was giving you guys the most trouble?
Yep, he's got really good stuff. Obviously, he's probably gonna play in the MLB, so he's a stud. We knew what was coming. You know, his fastballs, it gets on you. I agree. I bet it was up in the mid-90s, and his slider is unbelievable. So, you know, he just pitched a really good game, and you know, we were still competing up there, but you know, sometimes those guys, they can get you.
Well, you were one of only two Jaguars in the lineup who didn't strike out at least once against Steadman, and you were in the on-deck circle when the game ended, so I'm sure you would have loved to get a third at-bat against him. You know, what was the scouting report against him, and what was your approach when you went over to the plate?
Just get a fastball early. Obviously, his off-speed stuff is really good, so I don't want to get to any of that, but I worked my second at-bat. I worked pretty deep into his pitch count, so I was seeing that stuff and just fouling it off, but I was just trying to get a fastball early.
Well, Steadman is considered the state's top prospect by Perfect Game USA, and he was projected as a possible 7th or 8th round pick before the MLB draft last weekend, but he went undrafted as teams likely shied away from him because of his plans to go to Iowa, and he certainly showed, you know, how good he is. Now, had you seen any other pitcher this year that was even close to that caliber?
We played one from City High. We played a tournament at Luther College, and we saw a kid from City High. I think he's going to Johnson County. It's a JUCO in Kansas. I'd say those are probably the best two pitchers we've seen all year. But, you know, in the CML, you're seeing a good pitcher every single night.
Oh, sure. Well, you guys certainly showed throughout the season that you could compete with anybody. Four teams from the CIML ended up qualifying for state, and you guys beat all four of those teams at least once, and you went 5-6 overall against them. Valley followed up its win over you guys with a 9-3 victory at top seed at Cedar Falls on Wednesday to qualify for state. And you probably weren't too surprised that Valley was able to beat Cedar Falls, were you?
Yeah, I knew. We kind of knew that Valley was going to go take care of business after they played us in a really good game. You know, they got a deep pitching staff, so I kind of expected them to take care of business.
Well, the other teams from the CIML that advanced to state were Waukee, Johnston, and Southeast Polk. The Rams pulled off the biggest upset of that group. They won 6-5 at fifth-ranked Cedar Rapids Kennedy in 11 innings. So before we talk some football, Kate, I just wanted to get a couple quick thoughts from you about next week's state tournament. Now, the top two seeds are Sioux City East and Indianola, and those are two teams that you guys didn't see this season. Do you know much about either of those squads, and do you have any feeling for who might win the tournament?
Yeah, I know a little bit about Indianola. George Blake, their left-handed pitcher, we played in the fall a little bit together. Sioux City East, I know they have really good bats, and obviously the CIML teams are always going to be solid, so it's going to be great competition up there, and you know, every one of those teams compete really hard, so it'll be a good tournament.
Well, Southeast Polk is the number 7 seed, and they do draw Indianola, so that's going to be a matchup of teams that used to be rivals in the old Central Iowa Conference back in the day, back when I played. Johnston is the number 4 seed, and they'll play Pleasant Valley, so that should be a really good game. Waukee is the number 3 seed, and they get to play number 6 seed Valley. Now, Waukee did go 2-1 against the Tigers this season, but the one game that Valley won was when Steadman was on the mound, and I'm guessing he might get the ball again on Tuesday night. So who would you like in that matchup?
Oh, I'd probably pick Valley with Steadman on the mound. He's a stud. He's a good one.
Well, Well, Cade, Monday's game was the last one at Centennial for 13 of your senior teammates, and Coach High was telling me afterwards that it was also your last game because you're scheduled to graduate in January and you won't be playing baseball next summer. So I'm sure the loss hit you just as hard as it did the seniors on your team. You know, what are you going to miss the most about playing baseball?
Just being there, looking up in the crowd, seeing my dad after I do something good. You know, he was there through every game. That was really tough. You know, I was just like a senior this year. I don't get a comeback even though I'm a junior. So, you know, I'm just going out every day competing with the guys. It's a really special thing to, you know, share the field with all. You know, those are some of my best friends that I gotta be with every single day. So I'm just incredibly grateful for it, and I'm excited it's going.
So will you be heading to Illinois early then and participating in spring drills next year?
Yep, so I'll be heading there early. So it's about 6 months early. So I'll be enrolled, taking classes, and then doing everything the normal football player does.
Do you feel like that'll give you a big edge over the other recruits that are coming in the fall?
Yes, I think it's definitely in the Power Four. It's definitely a bigger trend in the classes that, like the 2026 class, 2027. It's pretty much everyone's graduating early now because it's such a big head start with a 6 month nutrition plan. 6 months more in the weight room, getting to learn the playbook. It's a huge advantage. So.
Oh, sure. Well, talk about your commitment to Illinois and how you came to that decision. Last fall, you caught 10 passes for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns as a tight end while helping Centennial to a 5-5 record. You were named to the District 4 first team, and at the time of your commitment, you were rated a 3-star prospect. Now, you told me that you had 19 Division 1 offers. So when did the offers start coming for you, and did they kind of trickle in, or was it kind of an avalanche where they all came at once?
So it comes in waves. So I got some FCS early on. It was just at the end of my junior season where, you know, the recruiting wasn't crazy, but obviously I'm so grateful for those opportunities. Those teams took a early chance on me at the end of my later in the, so like when we were starting taking the game day visits to colleges and stuff like that. And then really when school started to come see me in school and working me out this year in school, that's when the recruiting really took off with the G5s and ultimately Power Fours like Wake Forest, Iowa State, Illinois, all offered me after I did a workout for them on the field. So it's been a crazy, crazy journey with all the recruitment. It's, you know, 19 offers. That's pretty good. And I'm very blessed. You know, I worked hard to get there. So I'm very grateful for it. I'm glad I get to play in the Big Ten, the best conference in football.
Well, you told me that you took two official visits, one to Iowa State and one to Illinois. Now, I'm an ISU grad and a Cyclones fan, so I've got to ask you about their interest. Were they in on you before Matt Campbell left for Penn State, or did their interest start, you know, after Jimmy Rogers took over the program?
Yep, so I went on a visit when Matt Campbell was there. They were interested before, and then obviously they left and went to Penn State. So it's with the new staff, I like Jimmy Rogers. I like what they had going on there, but I just felt like Illinois was the place I wanted to be.
We also told me that Air Force and Army were two of the other offers that you had. So was that just a coincidence, or did you have an interest in pursuing something in the military?
I definitely did. My grandpa was in the Navy, so I had a huge interest in the academy. So, but when you get one of these big, big Power Four offers, it's kind of hard to turn down. But I was super interested. I think it's a great commitment. And after you graduate, getting a job, it's really good on your resume to graduate from one of the academies.
When you committed, you told me that you really liked the Illinois coaching staff. The Illini, of course, are coached by former Iowa player Brett Bielema. And I actually went to one of his games when he was the coach at Arkansas several years ago, and Paul Rhodes was on his staff. We even drove by his house down there. So did you have much interaction with him, or was it one of the assistants who primarily recruited you?
Yeah, he called me a couple times. He's a great guy. It was awesome when we got to sit down in his office. He was connecting with me and my parents. That's what was huge. It was a very personal level. It wasn't just straight football. It was getting to know me and my family, so that was big. And then Coach Elliott, the tight ends coach, was into the main recruiter. He was awesome. He came to my house. He came to see me at school. So the way he showed so much interest coming to see me, I knew that going up to Illinois, I was gonna like it.
Well, I've got a friend who is a big Illinois fan, and I told him you were going to be on the podcast today, and he said he's heard that Illinois' facilities are really good, and he has seen Iowa State's facilities, and he knows that, you know, they look good as well. So how did the two schools' facilities compare? Were they pretty comparable?
Yeah, they're pretty similar. They're obviously really nice. Power Four places are crazy, so it's I'm super grateful that I get to go into a place that has everything I could ever need.
Well, at the time of your commitment, I believe you were the Illini's fifth verbal pledge in the class of 2027. You were the only one of the five from out of state. So do you know any of the other recruits in the class at all? You know, have you met any of them?
Yeah, so Ryan Paulson, he was also on the Iowa State visit with me. He's a defensive end from DeWitt. Okay. And then the quarterback from Mississippi that committed, Slade, and his name is, he was also on the official visit with us to Illinois. So that was kind of the group of us hanging out together. So we're going to room, and we've got to know each other pretty well. We still keep in touch, so... Those are guys that were, it was nice to meet, and we were only around each other for a little bit of time, but we got to know each other really well, and I'm excited to get to work with those guys.
Well, you mentioned the tight ends coach, Coach Elliott, earlier, and I know you told me earlier that you really liked his vision for you. So you must feel like your skill set will be a good fit for their offense?
Definitely. They're going to use me as a true Y. When we sat down in the film room, that's what they talked about, being able to do everything, be multiple. So I really like that. Envisionment by them, so I'm super excited to get to work, because I know he's developed tight ends at every single level, he's coached at every single level, so I'm super excited to get to work with him. It should be awesome.
Well, before I let you go, Kate, I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about the upcoming football season. So when do you guys begin practicing?
We've already began practice. We do like an open field Tuesday, Friday, and then we do lifting every single day. So it's busy, but it's awesome. You get to be around your guys every day, so it's good, getting better.
Having to deal with this heat, aren't you? Well, you guys certainly have some key players back on offense in addition to yourself. You've got quarterback Brecken Miller and fellow receivers Owen Gasperi and Luke Mitchell. You know, do you feel like this offense has a chance to be pretty explosive?
Definitely. I have a lot of trust in our quarterback Brecken Miller. He was young last year, and, you know, at the end of the season, he made super big strides from the beginning. So I'm super excited. He's great. He can move around. He can throw the ball. It's going to be good. Owen Gasperi can catch the ball. He can block. Lucas Mitchell can go up there and catch it. So I'm excited, the guys that I get to share the field with, it'll be good. We got weapons everywhere.
Well, last year you also made 14 tackles as a part-time player on defense. You know, do you expect to play more on both sides of the ball this season?
Yep. We did a little defensive end. We went to Grandview. You can do like a padded practice there. So we kind of scrimmaged against our sophomore team, and I worked a little bit of defensive end as well as tight end. And I think I'm going to be playing defensive end this year as well.
Well, you guys will host Southeast Polk in your season opener on August 28th, and that'll be here before we know it. You know, that should be a pretty good test, you know, right off the bat to see what you guys, you know, have, shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played them last year for the opener for them, too. So it was they're really good. It was an adjustment. It was my first varsity game. It's a different speed, but we're going to be ready again this year for them. We put up a good fight last year, and I'm just super excited to get back on the field and compete.
Well, Kate, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it and enjoyed the conversation. And, you know, good luck this season on the football field.
Of course. I appreciate you having me.
You bet. You've been listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny softball players Kensington Erringdale and Avery Nelson, along with Ankeny Centennial baseball player Cade Newman. Really appreciate the time from all three of those folks. Cade was telling me afterwards that his dad remembers being interviewed by me back in the day, so that tells you how long I've been doing this. We certainly didn't have a podcast back in those days, but enjoyed getting to talk to Cade as well as the two girls. Looking ahead to next week, of course, we will have the two teams playing in the state tournaments. We'll have games on Monday. Centennial will be playing on Tuesday at the state softball tournament regardless. Most likely they'll be playing on Wednesday. If ACA wins, they would also play on Wednesday. So it's going to be a busy week. I'm also hoping to do maybe a morning ride on Regbury on Wednesday before I head off to one of those tournaments. But the plan right now is to do a podcast on Thursday if either one of those two teams or both of them make it to Friday's championship game. So that's the plan for right now. So come back next week, and hopefully we'll have another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.